How much time? 30 seconds. I'm on right now. I don't believe you. What?
You're listening to The Hockey Show on 101.5 UMFM.
All right, we're on.
Ready, Phil?
We're on in 5, 4.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please? Good evening.
Go down in a minute. Let me touch down. I'ma get it. Cause I been waiting all night to make it go from the friend zone to the end zone. Tryna take it to the house, baby, let's go. Cause I been waiting all night. It's game time.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM, Canada's only campus-produced radio show that strictly talks hockey. Glad to have you with us tonight, folks. Big show for our side of the events, anyway, as we have two great guests on tonight. We're not going to waste any time. We're going to get right to them because we've got lots to go over. They've done a ton of things in their careers, and we want to make sure we squeeze all of it in. So tonight, The Hockey Show is proud to welcome back one guest whose previous chat on the show was a ton of fun, but we're also proud to welcome a new guest whose experience with Manitoba hockey has only come at the 2017 Under-18 Women's National Championship. Her career has seen a few twists and turns, though, and we'll explore those too. Our returning guest is suited up for four teams in her university career at this point: Northland College, the University of Saskatchewan, the University of Lethbridge, and her current school at Nipissing University. She's an outstanding netminder who honed her trade to the Battleford Sharks, the Saskatchewan AAA Female Midget Hockey League, and catch up with her tonight as she co-hosts the first part of the show, where we'll meet our new guest, where she is basically one of the better defenders that we've seen in a long time in the OUA. She's played at the highest level in the land, as mentioned, in terms of being at the Under-18 Women's National Championship. She was a standout with the Sudbury Lady Wolves and the Whitby Wolves in her home province of Ontario. She flirted with an NCAA team for a short while before settling on playing defense for the OUA's Nipissing Lakers, where she's currently making an impact both in the classroom and on the ice. Ladies and gentlemen, The Hockey Show is proud, honored, privileged, humbled, and pleased to welcome two members of the 9th-ranked Nipissing Lakers to the show tonight as we welcome back Miss Chloe Marshall and welcome for the first time Miss Madison LaBerge to the show. Ladies, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Very good, thanks. Excited to get into this and certainly get things going to talk to you again and to meet Madison for the first time. Let's start off with the obvious. How's everything going out there? How's life in terms of settling back into hockey and finally getting some meaningful games under your belt again?
It's definitely a learning curve with COVID. I mean, everything's definitely changed, but it's definitely good to be back on the ice, back with the girls, and kind of get going in a routine here. So I'm definitely enjoying it. I was actually retired. I thought I was retired for a year, so it's good to be back in the skates. So
Madison, how about you? How's everything going?
Yeah, I would say the same thing. It's been a long 2 years almost since we got to play games and getting back on the ice with the team and playing games, and then obviously doing well for our first half of the season has been pretty good.
Very good. Yeah, no doubt about that. 9th-ranked in the country right now, so nothing wrong with that. I know both of you are doing exams. You got final papers, all that kind of stuff going on right now. Everything good there too? Work in the classroom going well?
Yeah, I'd say I think it's definitely nice to be back in the classroom. I know in my previous school, everything was online, so it's nice to get back in the classroom and interact with people and remember how to speak. And so it's been good.
Madison, you too? Yeah.
Yeah, it's busy right now with exams, but it's nice to interact with people.
That interaction is good. Yeah, we'll remind everybody, unfortunately, that before we get into this whole interview, that you, Chloe, were set to take over the Lethbridge crease before events that led you to transfer to another school, aka Nipissing. Have those wounds healed now that you've settled in North Bay and now that you're sort of back into a routine of playing net again and getting back into the whole hockey routine?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely always bittersweet. Like I said before, I thought I was retired, hanging the skates and kind of just focusing on school, and then when the opportunity presented itself, I was super excited because I definitely wanted to go out on my own terms. So I'm super grateful to get the opportunity to kind of to go out on my own terms and prove the reason why I was in the league and in this league now. So it's definitely exciting for me.
Well, in that case, then let's turn our attention to the woman that we don't know and who currently patrols the defensive zone in front of you as we meet Miss Madison LaBerge. Obviously, don't know a lot about you in terms of never sort of seeing you out in these parts anyway, Madison. So we're going to get to know you a little bit here. We always like to start at the beginning of the story, though. So let's go back to May 21st, 2001, when you became the second LaBerge child in the house in, again, a town that I didn't even know existed until I read about it. Is it Valterice? Is that right?
Yeah, Valterice.
Okay, so it is French. Okay, I wanted to make sure I was not completely butchering it. But Valterice, Ontario, some 20 minutes north of Sudbury. What was life like growing up for you there?
Well, I did have an older brother, so my life, summary of it would be really competitive. I grew up in a competitive household. My dad always said as a joke, if you're not first, you're last. So I competed at everything. We even competed eating dinner. It was crazy. But I started young playing hockey. My parents used to build a rink. My grandparents would come over and they'd help my dad build a rink in the backyard right up to the back of the back door of our house. Okay. And they would throw me out there. I didn't know how to skate. They would put the skates on and they'd come back a half hour later hoping that I was up on 2 feet. And I was only 2 years old when I was just turning 3 when I first started skating. So they put me in hockey. And then ever since then, I fell in love with the game.
So you're from a town, and I was doing a little bit of research on this, 8,100 people in that town in Valterice. Nearly half the town, though, calls French sort of their mother tongue, sort of la langue maternelle. Are you from a French household then? Is that true? Or is it sort of both for what you guys speak at home then?
It's 50-50. Like, my mom's side is completely English. Okay. And then my dad's side is completely French. They're from like Timmins and stuff like that. So like really French.
Yeah.
But like all the kids in our house, like my brother and my sister, we all speak English. They put my brother in French and he didn't quite succeed at it. So pulled him out and decided not to try with the other two children. So we are English and okay. Not French. But
okay, no, that's fair. I just didn't know in terms of, you know, which side of the ledger you might fall on, whether it was French family or especially with the last name, that sounds like it could be very French. So it looked like from where you grew up that Centennial Arena was a bit of a town square. Is that correct?
I think so. Like in the valley, like where I'm from. But I never played that would probably be my house league where I played house league mostly. Yeah. Most times, like competitively, I had to play out of Sudbury. So it would always be like a 30 to 45 minute drive to my home arena.
Oh, really? Oh, that's not
yeah.
So good. Before we get into hockey, I understand that you also had a pretty solid career in another sport where you were a bit of a star. You were pretty good on the soccer field as well, from what I understand. Somehow, some way, you decided to choose hockey over soccer. What made you choose hockey? Obviously, you know, getting the education is a good reason why, but what made you choose hockey over soccer? Was there any opportunity to maybe to follow soccer like you did with hockey?
So I chose hockey mainly because there was more opportunities with hockey for university with education as well, especially being from a northern town, like from being Sudbury. I didn't have many opportunities with soccer. I mean, I played Team Ontario a little bit, did the trials, but not much scouting comes with soccer. I don't know how that whole system even works. And I never really wanted to investigate it further. So I chose hockey. But I did, when I first committed to St. Lawrence, like the coach kind of joked about it, but like I almost played both hockey and soccer there. That would have been D3 soccer. And then as well at NIP, Turk wouldn't be happy, but I did ask the soccer coach to play soccer and he wanted me to, but when he went to Turk said, absolutely not. I was not allowed playing two sports here.
Okay. So before we go on, do you know that Chloe was a two sport athlete in university?
No, I did not. I don't tell a lot of people.
See, Chloe, I think this is awesome that you should tell people because you had no idea about the sport and somehow you ended up playing for the university team. So, right. So Chloe was pretty much a star in lacrosse as well.
Oh, wow.
But, yeah. So look at you guys, a couple of multi-sport all-stars out in North Bay right now. That's fantastic. We'll jump into your career where you sort of started getting noticed on a bigger scale in terms of your hockey career. That was with the Whitby Wolves of the PWHL in 2016-2017. So, I mean, got to ask, how does a girl from Sudbury find herself playing for a team near Oshawa, you know, east of Toronto?
So the year before, I got the opportunity to play up as an underager in Sudbury for the Sudbury Lady Wolves.
Right.
I played midget AA. And I got the opportunity to play with girls like 3 years older than me. And we were a really, really, really good team. We should have like won everything. But And that's the year that I started getting noticed. But like with NCAA, there's like rules you can't reach right. out until I reach out to them and blah, blah, blah. So then my coach decided that the best opportunity for me for the next year, because his daughters were graduating, he reached out to like a friend. He knew the coach of the Whippy Junior Wolves and got me a spot on that team. And I don't know, I made the decision to move in grade 10. And ever since then, like you said, there was a lot of opportunities with hockey. And yeah.
But you came back, though, the year after. You came back and decided to join the Sudbury Lady Wolves. Far closer to home, obviously, in terms of where you were playing. So what prompted you to come back then, if you thought the opportunities out there were really good?
Yeah, I had my commitment. So I made my commitment to my NCAA school of choice.
Right.
And I thought, and I had a discussion with the coach as well, that I was a little homesick the second half of the season, and schooling down south was a little bit more difficult than schooling back home, because I am from a small town. I know everyone in my school, the teachers know me by name, and the teacher, like, it was just a different atmosphere where I was in Whippy. So I decided to come home, and that was what was best for me at the time. I wasn't like mentally loving it, and I didn't want to lose my passion for the sport. So I did move back home. I had my commitment and they said that it was fine for me to move home. And then I also realized, like, quickly as I matured, that my decision to go play NCAA was just for hockey mainly. And like, as much as, you know, you want to go as far as you can in hockey, I admitted and realized that schooling was just as important. And if the program that I wanted to do, which was like physiotherapy or athletic therapy at the time, if it wasn't offered at that school and I wasn't super happy with that school, I needed to make a decision to decommit. And
so, I was going to ask about that a little bit in the future, but you flirted with the St. Lawrence Saints of the NCAA, obviously, a little bit in terms of having verbally committed to them, and certainly showed some interest in going down there. But that opportunity didn't come to pass because they didn't offer the course you wanted. Is that correct?
Yeah, like their school was like a bit different. Like they had, for your first 2 years, you take general courses. So I would take like biology and chemistry and stuff like that. And in grade 12 and grade 11, like I wasn't interested in taking just sciences. Like I really wanted to take an athletic therapy or phys ed is what I'm in right now, which is the program that I fell in love with. And many schools offer it, but not St. Lawrence. And I was scared for the, also like a lot of people feed you with information about how you sometimes can't transfer your courses from the States. So I didn't want to get stuck with that.
Okay. Makes sense. Obviously the move paid off pretty well coming back home, because things seemed to go pretty well for you in 2017. You were named captain of the Lady Wolves, I believe. Is that correct?
Yes, I was.
You certainly were. You racked up all sorts of points because you were pretty much doing everything for the team. You also were invited to play as part of Team Ontario Red of the 2017 Under-18 Canadian National Championship, which, huge honor, obviously. People are noticing you. Lots of people noticing you now because you're on that team. You won a gold medal there as part of that team. Unfortunately, finished with no points in the tournament, but you did get to play with a few special players, including Canadian national team member Sarah Filier. What do you remember most from that tournament? Because obviously that's a huge honor going there.
Yeah, it was definitely a huge honor. And like, it was in Quebec and my parents got to come. I also actually roomed with Sarah Filier, which is the craziest part.
Look at you.
Yeah. What do I remember from that tournament? The whole thing was just crazy. Like you were treated almost like an NHL player. That's how it felt the whole time. I remember just being a part of that team and being a part of that program. Like, we did video after games and talking to like past Olympians and stuff like that. It was just an eye opener and a great opportunity.
I mean, you go from playing, you know, PWHL to playing national tournament. Do you notice the jump in competition in terms of playing on the ice? Like, do you notice how, like, oh my God, everybody else is so much better than the players I used to be playing against, or the players I am playing against?
Yeah. So at the time I was playing midget, and everyone else who was on my Team Ontario team was junior players. So like, would be junior. Yeah. And there's a big, I wouldn't say like a huge gap, but there is definitely a jump from midget level to our junior level. So playing a couple games midget and then going to that tournament, it was like an eye opener. Like, I had to take a step back because it was a fast-paced game.
Completely changes the way you see the game at that point. But came back. Obviously, things went well in Sudbury. The last couple of years were going extremely well. And then 2019, there's a major announcement in that. Well, I guess it was a little earlier than 2019, but major announcement in that the 2019 Esso Cup was going to be played in Sudbury, where you guys, the Lady Wolves, would be the host. I mean, again, everybody gets excited about that. It's going to be a great time. You guys kind of went in as the unknown and made all sorts of noise. You, Madison, had a whale of a game against the Quebec A's, where you scored 2 goals and had 2 assists in a 5-2 win on Thursday, April 25th, 2019. Do you recall that game?
I do recall that game. That game was probably my worst game of the tournament. But I was not happy with that game during it. But obviously with those points and receiving the MVP of the game from Rebecca Johnson was an honor, a complete honor. And definitely I look back at it now and I'm like, honestly, I shouldn't have thought that it was a terrible game. Like, but, you know, in the moment, I definitely remembered hating how I was playing and not happy. But I definitely enjoyed that tournament as a whole.
Well, you didn't have a bad tournament, though. 4 goals, 5 assists, and 7 games. I mean, you played fairly well. You guys obviously fell a little bit short in terms of the goal. You lost in the gold medal game to St. Albert Slash, earning the silver medal, but not quite the gold medal. But again, I mean, it's not like you guys played poorly. You guys actually had a really good tournament that year.
Yeah, we definitely showed up. And I think it helped us being in our hometown as much as we really, like, finally we make it to the Esso Cup and we won provincials and we made it to the Esso Cup and then it's just at home. All of us were like, oh, that sucks, because we would have loved to go to, like, Alberta, Manitoba, BC, anywhere else but home. But it really helped us and it drove us, because all of our games were at night and the, like, the arena was packed to the brim every single night, sold out. And just having that atmosphere of, like, fans, like, it gives me chills talking about it now, but it hypes you up in the game and it hyped all of us up. We came together as a team and we put all of our, like, differences aside from, like, the whole entire season, and we pulled through that tournament. Unfortunately, the outcome obviously didn't
That St. Albert team is basically a mini Canada West All-Star team. So, I mean, we see, like, half those players are playing Canada West hockey right now. So,
yeah. Yep.
It's crazy. So, hey, good on you guys. I mean, it was a great tournament and certainly everything went well. But so what prompted the change then in terms of, obviously, you decommitted from St. Lawrence. What prompted you to look at Nipissing as your next option for university?
So my older brother decided he was coming to Nipissing for university and nursing.
Okay.
Didn't continue hockey or anything. He was just coming for nursing. And I remember I toured here with Turk. The coach was recruiting me in grade 8. I was so little and so immature. Like, I definitely was not going to commit to him, but I toured here in grade 8 and I loved it. I love the community. I love how small it is. I loved how small the school was. I knew I was never going to get lost, like, just everything. And that was always in the back of my head. And every time I came and visited my brother at school, like, he's 3 years older than me. So he was here for like 2 years before I came, and I just would always come visit and I would think, like, this is where I belong. And I just felt it, like, every single time. So, and I loved Turk when I first met him and stuff. So that was always in the back of my mind. And that was, like, honestly my first decision. As soon as I decommitted, like, I was already emailing, like, Turk, because I knew exactly where I wanted to be. And I knew that the school had the program for me and was going to give me opportunities for hockey and education.
For local hockey fans who don't know who Turk is, Turk is former NHLer, former Winnipeg Jet Darren Turcott, for those that don't know. I'll ask you both. What's it like playing for Darren?
I'll start this one off. It's definitely an interesting, like, atmosphere. I have always had hard coaches. So if you're not used to hard coaches, like, it's definitely probably an eye opener when you first meet Turk, because he has a different perspective on a lot of things. But he does have the background knowledge as a former NHL player.
Okay, hold on. What do you mean by different perspective on a lot of things? Like, what does that even mean?
he's a character.
Okay, that's fair.
He's hard on you. He, like, whatever he sees is the way it's going to go. And, like, obviously, I mean, he's the head coach. So most times he's right. And sometimes he may be wrong, but he won't admit it. But no, he's definitely a different character. Like, I don't know. That's how this is.
That's fair.
He could see the potential in someone and he, like, won't give up on them, whether they're giving up on themselves or not. Like, if he sees something, he's going to stick with it. Right. So he's super, super hard on individual in the best ways, if that makes sense.
No, I mean, I get that idea in terms of trying to sort of squeeze every last bit of potential out of somebody and getting them to reach their goal. So I get that in terms of how Darren's probably working that. We'll get to a little bit more about Darren a little bit later, but you're in physical education, kinesiology, Madison. So since we're here to talk hockey, though, you're also playing for the Lakers out there, which is a huge, obviously huge honor in terms of getting onto that team. Do you want to go over a couple of career highlights so far, since we have a few here? We've done a little digging into your career thus far. How much do you know about your own career is basically the question.
Yeah, I don't know much. I know my first year I didn't score for like the whole first half of the season. I don't think
that's a lie. You did.
Well, he has the dates, just wait.
Exhibition.
Let's start with November 9th, 2019. What'd you do that night?
Oh, I don't know.
Come on, think. There's really only two things you can do.
An assist or a goal, but I don't think it was a goal. It must have been an assist.
It was an assist. It was your first assist and your first point in the OUA. You assisted on Maggie McKee's goal at 12:57 of the second period in a 4-2 win over Brock.
Okay.
Yeah. Do you recall that? No?
Nope.
just blacked out when it happened. That's okay. Yeah. January 17th, 2020 was the next highlight.
That's my goal.
Let's run through that. What do you recall about that goal? Because I can give you the information if you want.
Yeah, I actually remember that because that was a really tough game, but that was against Laurier, and we weren't playing the best. I can't remember if my goal, I think we were losing, and I tied.
You were tied. You actually scored to give the Lakers a 2-1 lead in the second period, 12:27 of the second period.
Yeah, I remember the captain got hurt, like the shift before, and she got off, and we were like freaking out, and then I remember Turk said the only thing, he didn't even put a power play line out, he just through whoever was next, and he said just get shots through, and he was mad. So all I did off the draw, I took the puck and I shot it, and it went in, and I was happy.
So first OUA goal, first power play goal. You did score the second goal of the game for Nipissing on the power play, 12:27 of the second period, as I said. Do you remember who you scored against?
No.
Wilfred Laurier's Cohen Myers was the goaltender that night. No recall? Maybe. It's all right. You ended up losing that game 3-2 in overtime as well.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So not a very good night, but a big night for you.
Yep.
Other than that, there really isn't much else to go over at this point, and we're still waiting for you to write more chapters, so we'll do that coming up. But there was a great Get to Know Your Lakers piece where you gave away a bunch of information for free that we're going to ask you about, because we can also ask Chloe about these as well, because I think Chloe's answers might be funny, but not to say these aren't either. But you mentioned Winnie the Pooh as the fictional character with whom you'd like to be friends. Why Winnie the Pooh?
Oh my God, I love that movie. I love the movie Christopher Robin. I love all of his quotes. It's like doing nothing leads to the very best something. Oh, I just love Winnie the Pooh. We'd be best friends for life.
All right, then. That sounds like it'll work. Chloe, what about you? What fictional character would you want as a best friend?
I don't know why, but then my first immediate thought is Shrek, just because it's hilarious. But like, I don't know. I think we get along. Or maybe Donkey, I'm not sure, but that'd be entertaining.
What?
I don't know.
All right, that's
the first thought that came to my mind. Maybe we'll come back to that next interview. But
that's all right. Yeah, we can circle back on that in the next one if you want. That's crazy. Madison, you said you wanted to have Emma Watson play you in a life story of of you. Why Miss Watson as the choice for the actress to play you?
Harry Potter, right?
Yes. Okay.
I have no idea. Did I actually write that?
You apparently said Emma Watson was supposed to play you yet. So
yeah, that's crazy because I don't even know who that is. I just Googled her. I still don't even know. Like I do, but I don't.
Do you want to take another stab at that then? Is there another actress you want to have play?
That's always a hard one.
Yeah.
If you have an answer too, Chloe, you can give one.
Mine would be Scarlett Johansson, just because she fluctuates between hairstyles like me, can never decide.
That's fair. Nothing wrong with that.
That's my first thought as well.
Yeah, I don't know.
Leave it? forget it. Move on. Yeah.
I don't even know why I wrote that, but that's
that's okay. Well, it was asked, so you wrote something, which is good. Madison, you wore number 55, but you wore number 11 with Ontario Red. You're back to wearing number 5 this season. What significance is 5 to you in terms of you wearing various iterations of it?
Yeah, I have no idea why number 5 stuck with me, but that was my original number that I, when I was playing boys, I really liked that number. I just like the size of it on my back. I like kind of connected with, I'm born in the 5th month, so that's probably the only thing that I really have a connection with it, but I like how it looks. When I wore number 55, I probably could have kept it, but I prefer 5 on my back. I don't know why. There's no significance.
Chloe, you got number 1 back. Is it good to be back in your favorite number?
Yes, it finally, after many years of waiting, it's finally sitting in my stall. So I'm super excited and grateful to have the opportunity to have that number. So
that's all right. No, nothing wrong with getting your number back. Obviously, a little added confidence, boost of confidence there in terms of playing with that number on your back. Madison, you mentioned that your favorite go-to fast food restaurant is McDonald's of all places. Is that still true? Is that the truth in terms of going to McDonald's? Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely is. And the order probably stays the same
too. Yeah, we have a little bit of a guilty pleasure there. Maybe a little too often, but we have a little duo going there for Don's runs. But
okay, hold on. So 2 double cheeseburgers for Madison. What's your order then, Chloe?
Oh, it's the 10-piece chicken McNugget meal every time.
You guys are awesome. That is fantastic. We won't tell Turk about your discretion. We won't tell him about that. You mentioned that skydiving over bungee jumping. Madison, why skydiving over bungee jumping?
Well, bungee jumping just seems a lot more dangerous. Like that rope could snap. And
Wait, hold on. How is it more dangerous than flying out of a plane with only a parachute to save you?
Oh, I guess. But I don't know. Yeah.
That's fantastic.
I have nothing. No reasoning. I just prefer skydiving, I think.
Okay, that's fair. Chloe, would you skydive or bungee jump?
I would say skydive because like the duration's longer and you'd get a thrill and the rush a lot longer than a bungee jump would be like crazy, but it would be shorter and
you could dive faster.
Oh, okay, yeah. But yeah, skydiving would last longer, and I feel like even like making your way up and like flying through and just like the view and just like waiting to jump would just be next level. That's my thought.
I noticed that you're big on movie quotes as well, Madison, because your campaign slogan for prime minister was just keep swimming.
Yeah. Finding Dory.
Are you a big fan of, for example, obviously Winnie the Pooh and Finding Nemo, Finding Dory. Are you a big fan of cartoons?
Only some. Like I grew up watching lots of cartoons because my parents never let me watch grown-up movies, but... I stick to my few movies that I like I could watch Christopher Robin a million times. Finding Dory and Nemo, like, definitely could watch those.
Yeah, some classics.
I know some others, but
well, and Chloe, you're obviously a Shrek fan, so
yeah,
you got the cartoons down as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
That is fair. That is good. Obviously are getting ready, getting set for a second half. You guys are in a bit of a break now. Is it frustrating? Do you guys find it frustrating? Only because you only played 6 games before the break. Do you find it frustrating that they sort of just gave you a tiny morsel of hockey to play and then have had this like jam-packed second half of the schedule? Would you like it to even out a little bit more?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, would have been nice to kind of get some more games under your belt, especially girls. Like for me, for example, I haven't played over 2 years. There's girls that are rookies that have been on the team but had never played an OUA game and are in their second year. And I mean, rookies have never played an OUA game. So it would have been nice to kind of get more games under our belt and like gain more confidence going into the second half. I mean, we did pretty well considering our first half, but I mean, having the intensity carry over with that many games and having the confidence, I think, would be beneficial. But I mean, with COVID, we have to be grateful with what we got and take right, what's given. So I would say so. Yeah, it would have been kind of nice, but yeah.
Madison, for you, are you wanting more or?
I'm on the same page. I wish it was a little more evened out, just like every other season that we've had. I wish we started a little bit earlier too, just to have that even out.
Do you guys have obviously I think I know the answer, but do you guys have a significant rival now? I mean, you can say Toronto if you want, but.
Mm-hmm. Like I still think in the back of our head, like everyone who's returning players and who played 2 years ago, like we would say Toronto, or York. Like, we would say either of those. But I guess, like, right now, after the first half, like, we could say Ryerson because they were a decent team and they obviously stopped us from going undefeated first half. So,
yeah,
that could be a good rival.
I mean, you guys only stomped York the first time you played them, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe not rivals anymore, but that's okay. Chloe, you've played all over the place, and you've specifically spent time in Canada West and the OUA. And, I mean, obviously, you know, Madison doesn't have the same range of I've played all over the place that you have, but we always hear when we're at Nationals about how Canada West has this reputation for sort of tough, defensive, fast hockey. When people are, you know, telling us about, oh, we're, you know, we expect this from you guys. We expect this from the Canada West teams. Having played in both conferences mentioned, both the OUA and Canada West, clearly there's great players in both conferences. We're not taking anything away from either conference, but do you notice a difference as a goaltender when playing the game, when watching the game, in terms of the way the two conferences play?
I wouldn't say anything, like, no significant difference, but I will admit, I think the OUA, like, is quite opposite. I think they actually, the speed and intensity is a little bit quicker, and I think they play a lot more defensively than Canada West does. Mm-hmm. In terms of, like defensive zones and stuff like that. But I would say that, yeah, OUA is a lot more defensive and, I guess, more, like, gritty is the word I'm kind of looking for. Like, it's pretty gritty out here, and when, like, push comes to shove, the girls out here get pretty, pretty intense. So I would say that's the only really thing I can really notice. Yeah.
It's weird because we usually hear about, and again, I'm not saying that this is in any way accurate whatsoever, but we usually hear that OUA plays a little slower. You know, they like to control the puck more. They don't like to rush the puck as much. So hearing you sort of describe it in the opposite is kind of surprising to me.
Yeah. I mean, our divisions are kind of split up because of COVID. So I'm just basing off the few teams that we're playing
right,
here, but I would say, like, yeah, it seems like the puck's a little bit faster too in some areas. So that's the thing I really only noticed, but I wouldn't say anything like dramatic or anything like that as a difference. But
so Chloe, you've been through this and it probably hits home for you, Madison, considering where the school is located, but obviously you guys are down a school this year with Laurentian cutting its women's hockey program. To me, it kind of felt like Lethbridge all over again, the way they sort of handled it and or didn't handle it in terms of how the players were essentially cut loose without a lot of support. Looking at that, I mean, do you guys have any thoughts on the demise of the Voyageurs? Is there anything that goes through your head like, oh my God, this could happen anywhere now?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you really have to do is like think in a way that you never know like what to expect, right? So you kind of just got to take what's given and just live every moment to the best you can and kind of just put everything in, because again, with COVID, it's so everything's so unknown, right? You never know what to expect. And I mean, even like our season this year could be cut short, you just never know. So just kind of always having that in the back of your mind and just kind of giving it and just give what's taken and stuff like that. So that's definitely my thought.
Madison, for you, I mean, obviously Laurentian had a pretty big impact in the town of Sudbury. What do you think of that situation there?
Yeah, it was definitely an unfortunate situation for Sudbury, the city, and then as well as the school itself. But it had to happen just with finances and stuff. I just had to get cut. But yeah, like Chloe said, obviously living in the moment and enjoying every single like chance and opportunity that you get as you get it. Because as we know now from that school cutting and FISU getting canceled, like anything and everything could get canceled at some point.
Yeah, I think also you can't like dwell on the situation. I mean, if I was mad at Lethbridge for the rest of my life, I don't know if I would necessarily be here, you know? So you kind of just gotta just put the work in and expect something that like something's gonna work out from it. And everything happens for a reason. So I think just making sure you're not dwelling in something that is done with and you can't do anything about, so kind of just making something out of situation. So yeah.
No, I'm glad that you're not dwelling on that, because I don't think they deserve any more of your thoughts than knowing what you've already given them. So that's okay too. Speaking of FISU, I'm glad you brought that up, Madison, because you guys had a teammate that was supposed to go to the Universiade this week in Lucerne, Switzerland. It's Manitoban Caitlin Heppner was selected for the team.
Three girls selected.
Well, yeah, you guys had a pile of them, but I mean, I was going to focus on Caitlin because she from the province here, so I was gonna ask you though, I mean, I was gonna go through each of them, but I was gonna start with Caitlin anyway. What's it like playing alongside Caitlin for you, Madison, and obviously behind her in terms of the way she plays the game? What does she bring to the ice every time for you guys out at Nipissing?
well, she doesn't play defense anymore here, but as a defensive player, I did play with her 2 years ago, and she definitely brought a lot of poise on the ice, and obviously you can see the ice from the back end. We always wanted to be D partners first year, and we fought Turk on that, and he never put us together. So that was a little unfortunate, but I played somewhat alongside her, just not partners. But
you, Chloe, what's it like playing in behind Caitlin in terms of the way she plays?
A lot of what Burge said, and she's one of those players that's, you know, always consistent. It always seems like she's in the zone at practices. She's always in the zone, and it always carries over into her game. So she's definitely a very consistent player. And even as a forward, she's always somehow she's playing a little defensively. Mm-hmm. And so she's just an all around player, which is awesome to play behind.
Another player that was selected to go, Maria Domenico. What's it like playing alongside or playing behind her in terms of watching her do her thing?
She's really good. I've always been in awe of her athletic ability, especially on the ice. She definitely has a natural ability in the game of hockey, and she also puts a lot of work in. She's very skilled with her hands, and she shows it on the ice.
Yeah, kind of along with what Burge said, like, she's super skilled, and so it kind of gives you a sense of trust, and you kind of know, like, when push comes to shove, if we need an extra goal or if we need someone to kind of get in there and grit out a puck and make some plays or whatever, we can always expect her to do it. And especially if there's a shootout or a penalty shot, we know exactly that buzzer's going on behind the goalie. So it's always nice to know that we kind of have that player that can always just bury a puck when we need. So
she's automatic in the shootout. Yeah.
I would say basically 100%, if not 99.9%, that puck's going in. So it's always nice to know
tell you where it's going. Yeah. Hole every day. Yeah.
She makes it happen.
Wow. Look at her. Good for her. I'm glad she's got a guaranteed move. That's awesome for her. I'm glad I brought her up only because, again, Chloe, you have a couple brothers, so having them as teammates probably won't happen ever in terms of women's hockey. But Madison, you've got a younger sister in Elizabeth, who I understand is pretty good at hockey as well. Again, with Maria and Mallory playing for the Lakers already, are we going to see another sister act in North Bay soon?
Yep. She's coming up next year.
Has she already committed?
Yep, she's committed and signed.
Look at you guys. Well done. Give us a little bit of insight on your sister then, because obviously, you know, she comes from a pretty good hockey lineage then.
Yeah, me and her play pretty much the exact same way. She played with me when we had the ESSO Cup year as well. And it's definitely an experience with her playing together. We argue a lot. But at the same time, like, we play the exact same way, so it's hard to, like, like, we would never play together because we would actually, like, argue or fight on the bench. But she does play the same way as me, and we mirror each other in every form. Like, if she goes out and does a move, I'll go out and do the exact same move. But we are very competitive, so we compete for everything. And we're so close in age, and we're so tight, so that'll be good to have her.
So you're basically saying that Turk's going to have a bit of a problem on the Sands next season. Is that what you're...
He's
going to
have a couple extra gray hairs, I think. Yeah.
That's fair. Nothing wrong with that. He can certainly work through it. He's a good coach. So Lakers have been ranked virtually on every top 10 this season. We're ranked as high as number 5 a few weeks ago. It's always fun, obviously, to see your team ranked. But do you guys feel any extra pressure because of it? I mean, obviously, there's certain expectations that go along with being a ranked team. Do you guys let that creep in? Does it even matter to you guys, or is it just business as usual when you go out on the ice?
I think we kind of learned our lesson with our first game against Ryerson. I think going in, we were at that point ranked nationally number 5, and we kind of expected wins to come to us, and it kind of taught us a very valuable lesson that we can't expect to go into a game and win just by getting by, right? So I think that kind of gave us a little tool in our tool belt to go into the second half and realize that we got to put in the work. And I mean, Turk brings the intensity in practice, and if he doesn't see what we're expected to do or what he wants to see, then he makes it known. And we're also taught lessons in practice as well, so we definitely know what to do and what to expect going to second half. So I would say
it's definitely an honor being nationally ranked. And I know before 2 years ago, I think Nipissing, especially the women's hockey team, has never been ranked, I believe. That could be false, but I know that the top 5 ranking was Nipissing's top, like, ranking ever in any sport, which was, I think, a lot of pressure. As much as we kept telling ourselves that there was no pressure, because there really isn't, but I don't know, our school was behind us and they were proud of us for being ranked fifth, but the season's not over. And again, like Chloe said, we did learn a lesson. We expected a win against Ryerson and an easy win, and mm-hmm. that wasn't the case. And obviously we learned our lesson and we will probably go forward from that.
Locker room's a bit of an interesting setup as well, as you guys have players from all over the place, as far as PEI out east, as far as BC out west. Two interesting sort of standouts in terms of your roster, though, is you have an American playing for you guys, and you have a woman from Japan playing for you guys. What's it like in the locker room having sort of this varied, all over the place kind of composition of the team here?
I think it's pretty interesting. I mean, I've been on a whole lot of teams and met a whole lot of different people, so it's always nice to see girls from different areas and, you know, different cultures and stuff like that, and kind of educate each other and I guess grow as a team in an even better setting. So I think it's pretty cool, and it kind of brings like a cool team dynamic, and it really definitely shows on the ice. So I think it's pretty cool in that sense.
Yeah, Chloe nailed it there.
Do you learn anything like from, I mean, again, I know that, you know, obviously there's going to be a lot of things that Emma can teach you guys. Emma Thomas from Illinois can teach you guys in terms of different culture, but do you learn a lot from, say, from like Aki Fujimori, who obviously is from Japan and can teach you all sorts of stuff, including how to swear in different languages?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Like we've gotten to know them, and yeah, we're a team. Feel like I haven't, like we haven't learned anything like significant, I would say.
Oh, you're saying, so Turk's gonna have like a team building night, is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, well, I just meant like just kind of like communication wise and like learning how to communicate with girls, like for instance, like Aki, I guess in terms of like practice and stuff, you kind of have to, it's not like every other player, right? So you always have to be mindful of her and her situation. And with Emma, I think it's more so, I mean, when I played it in the States, everyone made fun of my accent and the way I talk. So it's kind of goes both ways in that sense. So it's kind of like a haha funny thing or something where you're learning to kind of go through and interact with girls in different ways than that you're normally used to. So,
I mean, I find it not weird, I guess, but I don't find it. So I find it kind of interesting that there are a lot of women from Western Canada that play for you guys. I mean, normally we see Ontario sort of pulling from within its own borders, but you guys have a lot of Western Canadians on your team as well. Chloe, you've played all over the place in different situations with all sorts of different people, but is it weird to sort of not see sort of some of the same players you grew up playing against, Madison, for example? I mean, obviously in the area, there's going to be a handful of players that you'll know, but it seems like everybody at Nipissing is from all over the place.
It was very interesting when I first came and like found out that we represented like 7 provinces, and like that sort of thing was an eye opener, but I wouldn't say like it's like different, like I still know
just that it's weird that you don't have like I said, sort of you sort of know, like for example in Saskatchewan they have a lot of the girls that play in and around Saskatoon go to the University of Saskatchewan, a lot of the girls that play in Regina for example go and play for Regina, like it just sort of works out that way, whereas it seems like Nipissing, who I mean from North Bay and sort of that northwestern Ontario area, there isn't a ton of women from that area. There's enough, but there's a lot from everywhere else as well.
Yeah, I think Ontario, though, has, like, a lot of universities and a lot of opportunities that, like, and we do have a lot of female hockey players, so they have a lot of choices with university. And I think with Nipissing, like, once Turk started recruiting from out west or even, like, the East Coast, he just kept recruiting and was using, like, previous players to recruit and use that, like, from Jeddah. Jeddah used to play, and that was easy for Chloe to talk to Jeddah about like how Nip was, and then Chloe used her background knowledge that Jeddah gave her and made the decision of coming here. So I think he does use connections and stuff with his prior players that are from out west, and that's why he recruits quite a few players from there.
Well, that's fair then, in terms of using sort of those resources, that's a good idea. Who did you speak to then, Chloe? Who is Jeddah?
Jeddah Darinowski, she played AAA Sharks with me way back in the day.
Oh, wow.
Captain. And then she ended up going to Notre Dame, and then she came to Nip, and she was the captain for Nipissing here for her career.
Yeah.
And I actually, like, when I thought I was retired during COVID, I was writing finals, and she texted me one day, and she's like, hey, like, my coach wants to talk to you. And I was like, haha, you're hilarious. And she's like, no, seriously, like, my coach wants to give you a call. So later that day, Turk, the coach, zoomed me, and at the end of the zoom meeting, he said, I need an answer, yes or no, right now. And I guess that's his forte. He always, when he wants something, he needs the answer right away. And if you give it to him, then he said, like, that's it. That's, mm-hmm. that's his decision. So it was definitely cool to kind of have that connection there. Otherwise I wouldn't be here today.
That is straight into the point then. Good on Darren Turcotte for doing that. I mean, obviously there, you flirted with a school in the States a little bit, Madison. There's a school that you're going to right now in Canada. Were there other schools that came calling? Where you don't have to mention any names, obviously, because we don't want to out anybody. But were there other schools that came calling once, you know, you sort of were looking at where to go and what to do for last season?
Yeah, I had a lot of opportunities and I'm forever grateful for them. There was a lot of nights that I spent putting pros and cons lists all over my room and picking and choosing. And yeah, I ended up with NIP.
So. That's still fantastic. We're never going to rip on anybody for choosing a school or anything or whatever. And you've obviously landed in a good spot. So that's always good to see. Obviously a few new players that have come in this year. One of them came with you, not with you per se, but with you in terms of where you last played, Chloe. MNF just scored her first OUA goal in the last couple of weeks. What's it like seeing her sort of get her feet wet? Because she came with a lot. They were very big on her at Lethbridge before everything sort of shut down there. They were excited to get her sort of name on the paper for the letter of intent.
Yeah, it's definitely cool to see a girl who kind of lost that opportunity to play her first U Sports game and kind of see her get her redemption at it and kind of show again why she's in this league and why she was chosen. And she definitely shines here. And I know she would have shined in Lethbridge. So it's awesome to see her continue that and not lose that fire.
Madison, have you had a chance to play alongside Emma, or did they keep you split apart as well?
I haven't been partnered with her directly, but I have had like a few shifts. She's definitely a very talented defense. And yeah, like Chloe said, it's nice to see rookie step up and score a few goals and get some points.
I was just laughing at the fact that Darren keeps people apart, but despite the fact that you guys want to play together, but either way, that's okay. Looking at the bigger picture now, obviously, again, we sort of look at the rankings and shake our heads every week because nothing makes sense in them. That's a whole nother story on its own, but... But in looking at where you guys have been all year, obviously you guys have been near or at the top of the OUA standings, at least on your side of the conference. You guys have been at or near, you know, sort of mid to lower half of the top 10 all year. I mean, how much pride do you have knowing that you guys are putting together something pretty special here this year?
For me, I think it definitely means the world, just coming from the teams I've came from and the opportunities I never quite got throughout my years, and just coming from teams that we're necessarily more at the bottom of the league. So it's definitely very humbling and like quite an opportunity. And I'm super grateful to be here. Just, it's such a different atmosphere. It's a total 180, especially from Lethbridge. So I'm super glad to be part of something and kind of just see what it's like to be on the other side of the arena. So.
Yeah. It's nice to see the past 2 years of our off ice training and hard work paying off and building off of it for this season.
Yeah. I was gonna say, Madison, you've been to a couple of big tournaments already in terms of winning some big awards and doing some good stuff, but I mean, obviously, you know, nationals is a whole new ball of wax. We're not saying that you guys are going to be there or anything like that. We don't want to jinx anything, but in looking at sort of the preparation to get ready, I mean, are you worried that, again, you've only played three teams so far in terms of your setup? You're only going to play a handful of teams all season long. Are you worried about maybe going into to play other teams? And I'll only ask because we saw Toronto last year go into nationals as one of the top ranked teams and they got bounced in the first game again.
I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say that we're worried. I mean, at the beginning of the year, and we also have sessions monthly with mental performance coach, and we kind of set goals and we put the PI flag up in a room and we all signed it and kind of made goals to work towards there. So we kind of know what we need to do to get there and what we need to do to continue to be there. So I think we're definitely well prepared and it's just a matter of execution, right? So I don't think we're worried. We just got to hold ourselves accountable and hold the team accountable and do those things that we set our goals to.
That was a very coach-like answer. Nice work. Madison, does it worry you at all about not seeing enough teams or not playing enough teams? No?
No, I don't think so. And I think that especially Turk reiterates a lot, especially after that loss against Ryerson, that we need to stick to our game and if we play our game every single day, it doesn't matter who we're playing, we will always come through. And I'm not going to say win every time, but we are going to put up a fight.
I should have included this, and I didn't include it, and I should have, because it seems like it should be a bigger issue for me, because I always like the highlights. For you, Chloe, Saturday, November 6th was your very first OUA win. Do you recall that night?
Yes, a little bit.
Against Queens, 4-1, yeah, in Queens? Okay.
Oh, yes, yes, I do remember that one.
Are you nervous in your very first OUA start, or is this just old hat now? I've done this before, no big deal.
Oh, gosh, no. My knees were shaking in my pads until the second period. I was
really
so nervous. Yeah, but I really try not to let anybody know, and I usually just try to stick to my game and keep mentally focused, but my knees were definitely shaking in my pads. But
why? You've done this before.
I think it was just being off ice and not playing in over 2 years, and just kind of, you know, when I wasn't expecting to play, I wouldn't say like mentally shut off, but I kind of had to figure out how my pregame ritual was going to go and how I was going to mentally get back into games and just sort of, you know, make sure I was still playing with speed and to the caliber of like this league. And so I was just a little nervous, but the rest is definitely gone. The shakes are for the most part gone. So yeah.
29 saves, one goal against. I'm not going to ask you about that because nobody wants to remember that awfulness, but 29 saves that night, obviously, for your first win, big win in terms of that setup at Nipissing. Does it feel better? Does it feel the same? Is it any different than your first win at, say, Saskatchewan, your first win at, say, Lethbridge in terms of switching schools?
I want to say it's somewhat the same. Like a first win on any new team is always a good feat because you want the girls to know that they could trust you behind them, right? So when push comes to shove, they know that the goalie behind them will perform. But it definitely was an even bigger feat for me because, like I said, I was retired for a while there. And when I came back, I was like, oh gosh, like, do I still really have this in me? And just wanting to make sure that I was confident so the girls can be confident. So I think it meant a little more here, especially because I knew the caliber and the team was a lot better than the previous year I played. So I wanted to make sure that the girls knew I was here for a reason. So it kind of meant a little more to me at that moment, for sure.
So North Bay, obviously, great place to play, great city to play in terms of, you know, all the support that you guys get. And assuming that there is good support, there is an OHL team in North Bay, in the North Bay Battalion. Do you guys get good support from fans then? Do you guys get a pretty big crowd to come out and support you guys when you guys are playing?
I don't think our fans, but I mean, like, our social media and our school, they're really awesome. I've never had a school so, like, supportive, especially on social media in that sense. But I mean, fans, it's women's hockey is usually generally the same.
Yeah, we do have, I'm pretty sure ours, like, in previous years, and I think this year we'll compete as well. But usually Nipissing, we do pull in the most fans, which could be surprising because looking at it from the arena, like, it is an OHL size arena, and
right,
our fans do not cover as much as OHL fans, but we do in the OUA, we do have like a high number, like one of the highest number of fans. So that's a nice feeling to have.
Yeah, I mean, playing in front of a decent crowd is always a nice sort of setup at that point. If people are going to come and, you know, spend the weekend watching you guys play, what is there to do? What would you recommend people do in North Bay, Ontario?
Oh boy.
Walk the Duchenne Falls.
Yeah, I was gonna say, just there's not a whole lot to do other than like walk trails. I mean, in the summertime it's gorgeous here with the water and the beach and stuff, so if you have an active dog or an active lifestyle, it definitely suits you. But I mean, in the winter there's really not a whole lot. I mean, if you were thinking of wanting to do something, you'd be like, okay, we're gonna go to Sudbury, Toronto, Ottawa. Like, you're kind of looking around the area, but yeah, there's not a whole lot to do here.
Walking,
yeah,
skiing, you could go to the ski hill, sledding.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there's a few things, I guess, to do in terms of having a little bit of fun. Best places to eat. I'm not going to accept McDonald's for this answer. So best places to eat if somebody wants to go out and grab something good to eat in North Bay. Because, I mean, we always like to hear where the locals go to eat.
Oh, I would say it depends on what you're feeling. I mean, there's a restaurant called Casey's. It's pretty underrated. It's really good. Or if there's a night where you had a little too much to drink, there's a place called Burger World. It's the best hangover food. It's like breakfast. It's like a Smitty's or a Humpty's. It's really good.
That's probably one of the biggest known restaurants. That one and Sills.
Like, it's always busy.
Yeah.
It's crazy those busy. So ones. I think those are the go-tos for sure.
That's fair. No, that's fair. Especially the if you're having a, you know, the hangover breakfast. So.
Yeah, you need a little fuel.
That never happens. I know that. You guys are high caliber athletes. That never absolutely. Ever happens. And again, I know you said the school supports it really well, social media, all that kind of stuff. Are there like diehard fans? Do you guys have diehard fans that come out and watch every game?
We have like the little Ice Bolt kids that come to every game. Like there's, I want to say a team of little girls that play hockey and they're always there giving us fist pumps before we go into the ice. So it's pretty cute and kind of have them like look up to some girls. So it's really cute. They're always there supporting us. So it's, they're always packed on one side of the rink. So it's cute to see.
I mean, we've gone over a ton of stuff here in terms of what we've talked about and we got to know you guys a little bit better and a little bit more. Madison got to meet you for the first time, which is great. Anything you guys want to say before we let you get out of here? Because we're almost out of time.
Oh, I have a question for Birds.
Oh, God.
Fire away.
I would say if you could tell your younger self something, what would you tell her?
Oh, you stole my last question. That was the last one I was going to finish off with.
Nice.
Chloe. So if you could go back in time, Madison, and tell yourself, tell pre-university self, you know, give yourself any advice that you want to give, what would you tell yourself?
Like, does it have to be hockey related?
It can be anything you want.
Anything your heart desires.
I think follow your heart. Like, if you feel like a decision isn't correct, like, then don't make that decision. Yeah, that's my best advice I'd give myself. And not care what other people think is the biggest thing.
I think that's probably the key that's most important. Don't worry about what other people think.
Yeah.
You guys start off with a big setup in January. January 14th, you guys are at Varsity Arena in Toronto to play Toronto. Are you guys ready for that game?
I think so. I mean, Turk's definitely been preparing us both on and off ice. We've been putting in the work, maybe even a little too much work. So I think we're definitely prepared. And I think the break will be good for girls. And to come back, I think we have like two full weeks of practice before that. So I think we'll definitely be well prepared. So it's exciting to go into the second half playing the top. I think they're nationally ranked number one right now. So it'll
be good. They are number one as of right now. Yeah. Yes.
It'd be good to see the compete level there. So, yeah.
I'm excited to see that. I'm going to keep an eye on that game, obviously, because it's a big, obviously a big weekend of hockey for two ranked teams in this nation playing each other. So I want to thank you guys for doing this. Madison, I want to thank you for letting us dig a little bit into your career and getting to know you a little bit more. And obviously, you know, hopefully all the best in terms of racking up more career highlights. We want to talk to you more about that coming up. So we'll let you finish off this season and hopefully add like 100 goals to your total or whatever you're going to do this in the second half. 100 goals would be fantastic. But Chloe, always good to get caught up with you. And certainly we've been looking forward to do this for a while. Thanks for doing this again, Chloe. And hey, backstop this team to Nationals and beyond if you can.
You bet.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Yes, thank you. We appreciate it.
Yeah, not a problem, guys. And I mean, all the best in the second half for you and for the rest of the team for the Lakers there. Go Nipissing. We're fans out here of you guys. So
awesome. Thanks so much. Thank you. Definitely have us anytime. We love to chat.
Like I said, we totally enjoy talking to you guys and getting to meet everybody from the other conferences because we never get to see them. So this is awesome that we've got a chance to talk to you guys tonight. Thanks for doing that.
Yeah, you betcha. Thanks so much for having us.
So there are Chloe Marshall and Madison LaBerge, two great players from the Nipissing Lakers of the OUA. They're currently second in their division, just behind Toronto in terms of point standings, also ranked ninth in the nation. So, you know, they're a pretty darn good team. Excited to see what they're going to do coming up here in the second half of the season, which begins on January 14th, as stated, against the Toronto Varsity Blues in Toronto. So it should be a big series for them, big weekend for them, which could determine who wins that entire conference. Should be a fun time for them, fun time for us, as we keep an eye on what the Lakers are going to be doing. Certainly keep an eye on what Chloe and Madison will be doing for the rest of the season. With that, folks, we are out of here for another week. Stay tuned. Free Range Radio coming up with Skippy next here on 101.5 UMFM. Always great to have good people on. We're going to try and have a few more over the break here. So make sure you check back on Thursday next week when we have another edition of The Hockey Show here on 101.5 UMFM.
It's about to go down in a minute. Let me touch down. I'ma get it. Cause I been waiting all night to make it go from the friend zone to the end zone. Trying to take it to the house, baby, let's go. Cause I been waiting all night. It's game time.
You're listening to CJUM FM 101.5 in Winnipeg. Game on!